You're Black listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today. In the salvation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right, so for the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at fortifying ourselves for our journey through this world and this life to God. And so 2 weeks ago, if you remember, we looked at fortifying ourselves, remember, by the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and being in the Word of God and not in our phones. Remember that? So we looked at the sword, fortifying yourself by the Word. Last week, what did we talk about? Fortifying ourselves, remember, not just by the sword, but also by going up on the mountain to pray, like Moses with the rod of God in his hand, to lift up prayers to God that we might have victory in the valley, sending God's air forces, angels, over the battlefield. Today I'd like to look with you at maybe the best of all of the ways to fortify ourselves in our journey through this world and this life to God, which is... keeping our eyes upon God at all times. Spyglass from my ship. Keeping our eyes trained upon the Lord in everything, in all times of life, the good, the bad, no matter what the circumstances. Keeping your eyes on God, on Jesus, not averting them, not turning them aside, not diverting our gaze to other things and distractions. What kinds of things do we distract ourselves and look to and focus on in our hearts rather than God? We look to things like our problems, right? Most of us spend most of our minds, our times and our minds thinking about our problems. Oh, the dangers and troubles that come against us. Or maybe some enticements or pleasures to sin that the world throws at us, distractions like from the phone. Or we look at our adversities that we're facing, or maybe just happy little entertainments. Or we look at our adversaries. Oh my goodness, the storm that's coming against us. How shall we escape? How shall we deal with this on my own strength? God says you've got to train your eyes at such times always upon me, the Lord, because that will make all the difference. So I want to ask you today as we start, are you training your eyes upon God? Keeping your eyes ever upon the Lord and everything in life going forward with Him, with your eyes on Jesus and on God. Let's take a look at that today and see what God had teach us about that for our empowerment, let's say, in Christ. There's great power in this. First of all, what's it mean to train your eyes upon God? Does that mean to just train my physical eyes upon Him? Can you look at Him with your own physical eyes? What do you say?
No.
Obviously not. Why not, Jeff? You're shaking your head. Why can't we look at God with our own physical eyes, these eyes?
Destruction.
Yeah, because we can't look on God and live. You guys know this so well, you're so biblical, but let's go through it here. Exodus 33, you know that story. Moses wanted, with his own physical eyes, to look upon the Lord because he'd been talking with Him all that time. He'd seen God's hand at work, but he hadn't seen God's face. Exodus 33, Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. In other words, God, I want to see your face. I want to look in you with my own eyes. God answered him, though. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, Yahweh, the Lord. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll show mercy in whom I show mercy. But, he said, my face cannot be seen, for man shall not see me and live. So that's exactly what you're saying, Jeff, is that if we were to see God, which we'd love to do, with our own physical eyes, we couldn't take it. God says, I'm too powerful. I'm too pure and perfect and holiness and light and strength that if you were to look at me with your own physical eyes of flesh, which is still tainted with sin, you'd be destroyed. It's actually God's mercy then that we can't see Him with our physical eyes. Amen? Say amen.
Amen.
This is slightly Pentecostal, but Lutheran doctrine, okay? Go along with me. 1 Timothy 6. Jesus, God, that is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. We just sang a moment ago, immortal, invisible, God only wise, and light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Why is it inaccessible? Because he's pure, he's up there, he's high, he's perfect. He is all powerful, and we are sinners. So God is actually mercifully keeping himself from your physical sight at the moment in order to spare us until we're one day prepared, resurrected, to see him face to face. Okay, so that's why we're not right now seeing him with our physical eyes. But can you see God? Can you look at him with other eyes? What do you say, Rich? Yes, yes or no?
Oh, yes.
You have two choices. Okay. Yes, absolutely. God tells us all the time in the Bible, train your eyes upon me. I keep the Lord always before me, says David. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So we can definitely see him with different eyes. Which eyes do we see him with? Well, look at what Jesus says in Matthew 13. He says to the unbelieving Jews, quoting Isaiah against them, he says, "For this people's heart has grown dull, their ears heavy of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn for me to heal them." So the unbelieving Jews could not see God because they did not believe in Jesus. And so their eyes were blinded. So I have that here too. So their eyes, like ours physically, or if we're in sin, are blinded. You can't see which way you're going. You can't keep the Lord. You can't see him. You're making all the decisions on your own strength. Not a good situation. You'll destroy yourself that way. But you do have inner eyes. God, Jesus then says in the next verse, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." In other words, we have internal eyes, don't we? The eyes of faith, the eyes of your spirit. And this is not make-believe, this is your real spirit can really see real things spiritually. "I pray that the eyes of your hearts," says Paul, "may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe according to his working of his great mind." Neil, do you have inner eyes inside of you?
You bet.
He's got glasses on the outside. But on the inside, he doesn't need that. He's got the Holy Spirit. He's got his born-again spirit. Do you see Christ? Do you believe on him? Then you're seeing God. That's what it is to keep the eyes, your eyes upon the Lord, trained always. Think about this. 2 Corinthians 4. It's the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," in the beginning, who is now shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you today believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that faith is seeing God face to face, and you keep him before you in everything you do, and you're going to come through with confidence, calm, peace, and victory, even through the greatest storms. Very important. John 1:8, "No one's ever seen God, but the only Son, in the bosom of the Father, he's made him known." If you see Jesus, you're seeing God, for he says, "He who has seen me," Jesus says, "has seen the Father. And this is the will of my Father," John 6, "that whoever sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So, Jesse, you seeing and believing on Jesus Christ, is there a result to that?
Yes.
You're going to have eternal life and be resurrected because you've seen and kept the Lord before your eyes. Praise be to God for that. What is this? It's Hebrews 11. "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." So there are inner eyes which are more accurate than your outer eyes that see reality and truth. Purely being born again by your spirit, you're seeing the Lord. What can you see by the inner eyes, by the way? With the eyes of faith as a Christian, as a born-again, redeemed child of God. You see the truth. You see reality. If you're an unbeliever, what do you see? Nothing. All you're looking at is the outward appearance of things. They're just husk, they're shell. But you're looking at the bare, real reality of everything. What do you see? You see that the world was created by God. You see that clearly, don't you? You see what God's history, his purpose through all history, has been to save the world in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Then your eyes are open. You see that the gospel proclaims to you salvation to all who believe on Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Then you have seen God. That's great. You see that there is a heaven above you. Do you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do you see hell below and beneath?
Yes.
Do you see a cosmic war going on in the heavenly places that there are demons rushing about this way and that, as shadows in the world, and yet elect angels are coming down like bolts of lightning, warring against them and furthering God's purposes in the world. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. You see all of these things, but the best thing of all, that you can see with the eyes of faith, is the Lord, God himself. And you want to keep him. God says you've got to train your eyes, though, to keep them ever upon me. Don't let them turn aside. Don't let them look this way or that, or avert your eyes, you're going to lose all your power. You'll lose all your strength. You'll lose all your confidence. But if you look at me, just by looking at my face, by faith, I will pour into you all of my radiant light, and you will be made strong in the spirit and bold and courageous and confident for whatever you're facing. Does that make sense? Do you do that, by the way? We all have, you know, sometimes this way, sometimes that way with our eyes. We've got to go with the eyes of faith, friends. God's word for us is that's what his will is for us in Christ Jesus, to train our eyes on him at all times. I'll give you a couple examples. Remember David and Goliath? Yes. Everybody else is afraid of Goliath.
A big human giant with terrific armor, 9 feet tall, boasting with braggadocio of the devil.
And they were all afraid of him because they were looking at him with which eyes? Flesh or faith?
Flesh.
Everybody's trembling. They're afraid. They're cowards. David stands up and says, who is this God? He's defied the armies of the living God. The battle belongs to the Lord. And today, Goliath, God will give you into my hand, and I'll strike you down. Which one was that? The eyes of faith. Because David saw the Lord over the battlefield. Courage, power, might came into him. And he struck down the giants. Isn't that what you want in your life? Mm-hmm. Which eyes are you going to use then? You got to choose. The inner eyes. Look at Jehoshaphat. I love this one. 2 Chronicles 20. We see that the Moabites, Ammonites, and the Munites came against Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat of Judah, for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom beyond the sea. And they're at En Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat feared. Which eye is that? Which eye?
Flesh.
But then he set himself to seek the Lord. Which eye is that? The spirit. And then he says to God, oh God, we're powerless against this great multitude that's coming against us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And what does God do? Wham, bang, boom, doom. And he gives them the victory. So it's the whole difference, is my point, is which eyes are you going to use? Are you keeping your eyes upon the Lord? Are they upon your problems? Are they upon your distractions? Are they upon the things of the flesh? Sinful enticements? Are they on your adversities? Are they on your adversaries and enemies? What are your eyes upon today, and where will you train them to be as God's people? God says, train them to be upon me. Remember Moses in Hebrews 11, 27, it says, by faith Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, Pharaoh, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Can you imagine Pharaoh coming against you when you're just little Moses? All you got is a rod in your hand. Pharaoh's got all the power, and armies, and chariots, and horsemen. But simply because his eyes were on that, he walked straight forward across the sea as if on dry ground. Pharaoh attempted to do the same and was drowned. It's all the difference. Guys, where you put your eyes, which ones you're using, flesh or spirit, and since you're Christians, you can use the spirit, and that's where God calls you, look at me at all times your whole life through, because you're going to find your power from me through looking at me. Okay, so where else do we look? We look at our problems, we look at our adversaries, we look at our adversities, we look at the sin, we look at distractions. And like I said a couple of weeks ago, we check our phone how often? Every 5 to 12 minutes. Oh, great magic box. Oh, genie, what dost thou sayest to me? You've got to use King James, right? What new wonders will you show me? How about the television? You guys watch TV? That's kind of passe for the younger generation, but what is it? Television. You're getting channeled, right? There's channels. And there's a broadcast. Well, who's casting the net?
Yeah.
All right, think about it. Yeah. Do you really want to have someone else tell you a vision, or you want God to tell you a vision? Well, if you want God, look at him. Forget the phone, forget the TV, at least for the most of the time.
Amen.
Thank you. Now we got some Pentecostal. Okay, everything hinges upon looking at the Lord. Training your eyes upon him, is this true? Let's consider for a moment a story about the power of looking at the Lord in your life and the powerlessness of turning your eyes away from the Lord. We're going to jump over here to Matthew 14. Okay, this is what we read a moment ago about Peter. Here we go. Verse 22, then Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. So they're in the boat. While he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. Let's say the boat's down here. But the boat by this time was many furlongs distant from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Ooh. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Have no fear." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, other ancient manuscripts say, when he saw the strong wind, he was afraid. And he began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "Oh, man of little faith, why did you doubt?" You know, lifted him up. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Does this not the best story about where you're going to look with your eyes? Right? Let's see, consider what you can learn from this. Jesus made them go down and get into a boat. Does he make you go down to the sea and get into a boat in your life and go out, push out into the deep when you really want to hang out on the beach and have a martini? He sends us out into the storms of this world. In fact, they probably, it's a nice day when they headed out, but then the wind came up against them. Who sent the wind? Who sent and created the storm? Was this not a setup? Does God send you out into the deep as well and sometimes send storms and winds and raging waves against you to test your faith and see where you're going to look in the midst of that storm? He does. Then we read that they rowed all night, basically. There were many furlongs from land, so they're tired. He lets them get exhausted. They've spent their strength, and they're facing a very perilous situation. They are not in a safe place. Many furlongs means about 3 or 4 miles. All right? And if you're at sea level, if you're on a boat rowing and it's just a flat horizon, you can see about 2.5. So this is water to water everywhere. And besides that, it's the fourth watch of the night, which in Roman military time, that would be the darkest penetrating pitch black part of the night. So they're looking so far with the eyes of faith. They're in... of flesh. They're in a storm. They're feeling terrified. They're feeling fearful. They're worrying. They're anxious. They're troubled. Then Jesus comes. Did things get better, Ian?
Yeah.
Right away?
No.
At first, they see Jesus coming to them, but they're still looking with the eyes of flesh. Oh, my goodness, I see a man. It's a ghost. This guy's coming to kill us. Do you find that sometimes, too, when God pushes you out into the beat, you're into the deep, you're on a storm in your life, everything's going wrong, you're tired, you're exhausted, you spent your strength, your courage is at your wit's end, everything's bad, and you see Jesus coming to you, and if you look at him with the eyes of flesh, you're like, "I must have sinned, he's coming to destroy me, this is all going to wipe me out, I'm even more terrified, it's a ghost!" Don't you feel like that sometimes? So what does Jesus do in that situation? Did it change? Well, yeah, he calls out to them, says, "Take heart, it is I, don't be afraid." What does he do to their eyes at that point? He awakens their spiritual sight, doesn't he? Previously they looked at Jesus, but he's a ghost. But now they recognize his true identity, and the people in the boat say, "It's the Lord, it's our King, it's our Savior, it's our friend." And when they saw him truly, with the eyes of faith, what happens to their fear?
Goes away.
Completely dispelled. What happens to their anxieties? What happened to all their worries? What happens to their dread? Completely obliterated, and courage, joy, thrill, excitement, fun, happiness, peace flooded into their souls with power because they saw him by faith before them. How do we know this? Because Peter, previously terrified by the edge of the ship, considering that death, now says, I want to get off this, step off the boat off the edge. That's going to be life and joy for me. Isn't that a big change, Maggie? Wouldn't you say? So when we see Jesus by faith in our storms of life, whatever they may be, and you keep your eyes on him, that's the end of your fear. And now you're going to say, hey, I can do anything. My eyes are on you. Let me come to you, Lord. And you can start doing miracles, walking on the sea. Can you imagine walking on the sea? Wouldn't that be cool? I imagine there was a hush over the storm. Peter felt a certain warmth inside him, a brightness to the dark evening. His eyes on Jesus, his soul thrilled and lifted up in light and power. Until what happened? A blast of wind rushes across and blows the caps off the nearby waves. And being a sailor, he was terrified at the sight. He turned his eyes from Jesus, averted and diverted them over towards the wind, and he was struck again with fear, correct?
Yeah.
And he began to go down. He began to sink. And you can imagine the water that had been before him is now sweeping over his feet, rushing up to his knees, encircling his waist, enclosing his shoulders, and charging toward his mouth, where he'll have to gasp with his last breath as he's going down, save me, Lord, I'm perishing. When he said, save me, Lord, I'm perishing, all right, I'll go on you. Where did his eyes turn?
To the Lord.
Back to God, back to Jesus. Save me, Lord, from perishing. What happened? He went from going down to going up. Jesus catches him. If he's catching him, it means he's lifting him up. And he sets him on his feet again. He says, oh, man of little faith. Why did you doubt? And they walk back to the ship. Now, think about this, too. Peter is probably not just like two steps out of the boat. Okay, they're probably like 100 feet away from the boat. But the whole rest of the way back to the boat, his arms on Jesus' arms on his shoulder, they're probably looking at each other as they walk, and they saunter and walk back to the boat and step in, and the wind is completely calm. You know, when your eyes are on the Lord, then there is a calm in your soul. It doesn't matter what the outside storm is doing. It doesn't matter how wild and wet and wicked it is out there. You are at peace, power, light. The rushing wind, I probably was just like white noise for Peter. Calming, a glow, a warmth, a strength, looking at Jesus, walking with him on the way back to the ship. My point today is simply this. If you're not with me yet, you are. Wake up. This is it. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and everything good comes from it. Power, peace, might, strength, courage, thrill, joy, even in the middle of whatever storm you're facing, because if the Lord be for me, who or what can be against me? Amen?
Amen.
He's my hero. Beth and I have had to go through this recently ourselves. As you know, we're somewhat homeless nomads right now. We were sailing into 2026 thinking, finally, for the first time in my life, everything's in order. You're feeling better, Beth. Our finances are in good shape. Our house is good. Isn't this lovely? Put out into the deep for a little while. He made us get into a boat. As we're getting, the winds begin to beat against us, and the waves washed over our ship, literally, because our washer and dryer, our washer, busted a line, and the waves literally swept over our house. Now we've had all of our flooring torn up. Now we're waiting to obliterate. We've obliterated the baseboards. We're about to obliterate our entire kitchen and everything that we have held dear. The whole boat is going down, in a sense. And at first, I felt terrified. It's like, how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Oh my goodness, look at the wind on the sea. Oh, how are we going to be together? We're many furlongs from land, but we can't even see the boat. Well, what did I want to do? God called me and said, no, no, get your eyes off that storm. Just, where is it? Train your eyes upon me, take heart, it is I, don't be afraid. And you know, when I've done that, and Beth and I've done that, all of a sudden, the storm inside is over. It's just like peace, trust, he's got it, he's my hero, he's got this, I'm gonna be saved. And so it doesn't matter if the wind's still blowing or not, and in fact we're making progress, praise God. Say amen.
Amen.
But it's the eyes that make the whole difference, and in comes the power. I've witnessed it, felt it in my own life. So, praise be to God for that. So, this I know, that God is for me, we need to say, and God whose word I praise, I'll trust and not be afraid. What can man do to me? Okay, so what do you need to do this? To train your eyes upon God? We're getting towards the end, so pay attention. How do we do this? Well, you just get directly, intentionally, put your eyes on God in every situation in your life and train yourself to do that. We're not going to do it perfectly. We all fail at times, but the more we do it, the better off we get. The better off we get at it. Be in church where you are today. Are your eyes more on God than you started?
Yes.
Praise God. Be in the Word, like we said, instead of your phone. Then you're going to be eyes on God. Be in prayer, like we said. Your eyes will be better upon God. And just picture him with you everywhere you go, because he is. I'm with you always to the close of the age. When you get up in the morning and see a sunrise, say, I see you, Lord. You're before me. Go before me in this day and give me the victory. In the middle of the day, the storms rise, the wind comes up. I see you, though, Lord, before me. You're going to give me the victory in this one. At night, in the stars, I was out walking the other night, and I was shouting out loud out to the Lord. I was like, God, you're with me. I see you above the firmament, above those stars. But then there was another guy in the parking lot. He thought I was crazy. So I said, I'm going to wait until I get in my car. Then I started shouting. I've heard this story that a man was once having panic attacks. He couldn't sleep at night. He was terrified by some demonic presence. And the pastor, preacher simply said, put a chair next to you at the bed. That'll solve everything. What's a chair going to do? Well, every time you wake up in the night and you see that chair, know that Jesus is sitting there, watching over you. Do you know he never had another panic attack after that?
Yeah.
As soon as he feels fear, but Jesus, my eyes are upon thee. You will pluck my feet out of the net. Praise be to the living God. You've got to put it in your mind that way. Always keep him before you, my friends. And as we do, he's changing us from one degree, from glory to another. We become like whatever we look at. That's what you said this morning. The more you look at Jesus, the more you're going to be like him, and you want to be like him because he's powerful. He's full of peace. He's full of strength and might. He is our hero, and he makes you like himself when you look at him. Even in the face of death, when you die one day, 1 Corinthians 15, you can say, ha! Death, where is your victory now? Where is your sting? For the sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Your eyes on Jesus, you can even laugh death in the face, because you get the victory even over him through our Savior. The result of looking at God, this is the will of my Father. Everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. And again, without having seen him, says Peter, without having seen him with your physical eyes, you love him. And though you don't now see him, you believe in him. That's spiritual. And you rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. As the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls. Seeing Jesus, you will live and live forever. So in conclusion then today, God says to you from Psalm 34, look to me, my children, and be radiant, and so your faces shall never be ashamed. Run with perseverance the race that's set before you, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith. And one day, you're not even going to need faith anymore. Very soon, Jesus says, when you come to me and I come to you, the return of the King, then you shall see my face and my name I'm going to write upon your forehead. And you're not going to need any lamp anymore or any light of the sun. For the Lord God, I will be your light, and we shall reign together forever. In Jesus' name,
amen.